Welcome everyone to pre-ICAN 60 policy open house at 1900 UTC on Thursday, 19th of October 2017. Before we move on, I would like to inform you that we will start with a short briefing by policy development support team, which will be followed by a questions and answer session. I will now hand it over to David Oliver for his opening remarks. David?
Thank you, Ozan, and welcome everyone to our policy open house. This is a new format, a more interactive format, where I'll have experts from our policy development support team talk to you about some of the highlights, but also allow you to interact with them or ask questions about some of the substance and materials that will be explored and further discussed at ICAN 60 by the supporting organizations and advisory committees. In particular, I'd like to point out the preparatory materials that we have prepared for your use as you go into the ICAN 60 meeting in Abu Dhabi. In particular, the pre-ICAN 60 policy report, I encourage you to look at that. That provides an overview from all the three supporting organizations and four advisory committees, their latest activities in policy and advice and their priorities. As well as the ICAN generic name supporting organization policy briefing document. The ICAN policy report, nearly 900 downloads have been recorded, so we hope that you'll be able to use that. And for the GNSO report, over 300 reports have been downloaded for access to that information. Policy and advice development activities are an ongoing activity at ICAN. They're mostly done through teleconferences such as this in discussions as they proceed to look at the issues and form recommendations to the various groups for their consensus. At an ICAN meeting, of course, there's a particular emphasis on and focus on these particular priority topics as they move forward in the process, and people have a keen interest to make sure that there is the consensus and the progress made on many of the important issues facing us in the management of the domain name system. So with that, I'd like to go on and tell you a little bit about ICAN 60. At this stage, there are 1,500 people registered to attend. We are expecting over 2,000 in the final count. And there are 354 sessions scheduled for ICAN 60. With that, I'd like to start out with a little quiz. At the end of this open house webinar, I'll provide some answers. But of the 354 sessions, how many will focus on policy and advice development activities? We see less than 45, 45 to 99, 100 to 150, or more than 150. Please let us know your views and your votes, and at the end of the webinar, I'll share with you the results. We will also use this type of quiz as we go through the session help you focus on some of the priority topics that you are interested in. Of course, at ICAN 60, we are also having five cross-community sessions. These are organized by the supporting organizations and advisory committee groups to focus attention on some issues that are of interest to the larger community. So we see, of course, a report from the cross-community working group on accountability as it begins to bring to a close its work there. We see a session on DNS abuse and effective mitigation. Also, concerning our ICAN reviews, the operating standards and how those procedures are being dealt with. Of course, a very popular topic at ICAN meetings these days will be the General Data Protection Regulation and the implications for ICAN. And then finally, a session on jurisdiction and those challenges. So we hope that you will be able to participate in these. Remote participation will be available for those who are not going to be personally in Abu Dhabi, and it should add to the general mix of discussions and exchange of ideas of our community at ICANN 60. With that, I'll turn it over to our subject matter experts to talk about the specific areas and topics of priority at the conference. Marika Koning, please.
Thank you very much, David, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Joining David and thanking you for joining us for the pre-ICANN 60 policy open house session. As you can see on the screen, my name is Marika Konings, and I'm the Vice President Policy Development Support for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or also known as GNSO. As you have hopefully all read in the GNSO policy briefings, which were published in preparation for this webinar, and I've also shared the link with you in the chat, there are many projects underway in the GNSO. A number of those projects you can see listed on this slide. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into the details of each project, but please feel free to type any questions you may have in the chat or hold them until the end of the webinar for the Q&A sessions, and I and all my colleagues will do our best to answer your questions. With regards to the priorities for the GNSO at ICANN 60, the GNSO has carved out significant time to allow the different policy development process, or PDP, working groups to progress on their deliberations. And this includes the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, and they're expecting to spend significant time on what is called a Work Track 5, and you'll hear a little bit more about that during the Q&A session. The next generation registration directory services to replace WHIS PDP, and the review of all rights protection mechanisms in all generic top-level domains. In addition, the IGO-INGO Curative Rights PDP Working Group will be presenting its proposed final recommendations for community input. In addition to policy development activities, the GNSO Council also has a number of bilateral meetings scheduled with the ICANN Board, the Country Code Supporting Organization, or CCNSO, and the Governmental Advisory Committee, GAC, to discuss topics and issues of mutual interest. All these sessions, as well as the previously mentioned PDP working groups, are open to anyone interested. On Sunday of the ICANN meeting, the GNSO has a number of 30-minute slots planned, which focus on a range of issues, such as status updates on the different PDPs, an update from our colleagues of the Global Domains Division, or GDD, specifically on the status of implementation of previously adopted GNSO policy recommendations, an update by the Second Security Stability and Resiliency Review Team, or SSR2, as well as a Q&A session with the candidate for the GNSO chair position. And we also hope to provide an overview of the proposed changes to the GNSO operating procedures and ICANN bylaws as a result of the recommendations of the GNSO bylaws drafting team, which are intended to ensure that the GNSO has the necessary processes and procedures to play its part as a decisional participant in the empowered community. Tuesday, also called Constituency Day, will be dedicated to GNSO stakeholder group and constituency internal meetings, as well as their joint sessions with the ICANN board. And even though these are internal meetings, most of these are open, again, for anyone interested to attend. The Open GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday is expected to include topics such as the appointment of the next GNSO liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee, a discussion on the status of the different bylaw-mandated review teams, as well as a possible discussion on next steps in relation to the review of the WHIS conflicts with privacy law procedures. In the second part of the meeting, the new council members will take their seats in addition to those that remain, with their first decision being the election of the next GNSO chair. The GNSO then wraps up its activities at ICANN 60 with a wrap-up session on Thursday, which is expected to include the appointment of council liaisons to positions that have become vacant with council members stepping down at the AGM, the appointment recruitment of volunteers to lead the GNSO review of the GAC communique, and GNSO will already start its planning for the next ICANN meeting, namely ICANN 61. So that is, in a nutshell, the GNSO at ICANN 60, and with that, I look forward to answering any questions you may have, as said before, in the chat, or as part of the Q&A session at the end of our brief updates. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Carlos.
Thanks very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes, based here in the Washington, D.C. office, and I'll be providing an update today on the activities of the address supporting organization. As most of you may know, but to quickly review here, the ASO was established in 2003 through a memorandum of understanding between ICANN and the Number Resource Organization. In this capacity, the NRO was representing the Internet Number Community and the Autonomous Regional Internet Registries, or RIRs. Those five RIRs today are AFRINIC, APNIC, ARIN, LACNIC, and the RIPE NCC. Through the MOU, the NRO Number Council acts as the ASO Address Council at ICANN, and the ASO Address Council coordinates the global policy development work of the Internet Number Community. What is a global policy? A global policy must have the agreement of all RIRs according to their regional policy development processes and ICANN. Global policy also requires specific actions or outcomes on part of the IANA functions. Currently, there are no global policies under consideration by the ASOAC. However, there's robust regional policy development activity. For example, at APNIC 44 in September, three proposals reached consensus. Two of these proposals clarified the evaluation criteria for very large IPv6 delegations. And two of the four proposals that reached consensus at LACNIC also addressed IPv6 allocations. At ARIN 40 earlier this month, five proposals were considered. One has since then been abandoned. Three remain under consideration. And one about IPv6 registration is in final comment. So as you can see, a lot of activity at the regional level, and more proposals will be considered at the upcoming RIPE NCC and AFRINIC meetings. The other topic of interest right now is the review, the organizational review of the Address Supporting Organization, Address Supporting Organization, or ASO. The NRO Executive Council, in communication with the ICANN Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee, selected an independent examiner earlier this year to conduct an organizational review of the ASO. That report was published in late July. The report contains 18 recommendations, and the Internet Number Community continues its deliberations through regional consultations. So every region is discussing the recommendations, and both the ASO Address Council and the NRO Executive Council are tracking these discussions and coordinating on next steps. Finally, the ICANN Board Seat 9 process has kicked off for the ASO. The Address Council's initiated the call for nominations. Nominations are due by September 17, and the selected candidate will serve a three-year term beginning at the conclusion of ICANN 63 in October 2018. For more information about this and other ASO matters, please visit aso.icann.org. And I'll also be providing links in the chat here for everyone to reference. And with that, we leave the supporting organizations and we transition to the advisory committees with an update from my colleague, Heidi. Heidi?
Thank you very much, Carlos. Hi, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. I'm delighted to give you a preview of the key topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, the ALAC, and the at-large community during ICANN 60. So top three areas of focus for the ALAC and at-large are, the first one is at-large review. In response to the at-large review report by the independent examiner, the at-large review working party completed their feasibility assessment and implementation plan in early September. Later in that month, members of the at-large review working party presented the key aspects of the report to the Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee, the OEC, and OEC is reviewing all aspects of the at-large review, and at-large will continue to discuss this topic during ICANN 60. The second main topic is new GTLDs. At-large will be holding a session on Saturday looking at many aspects of new GTLDs, including community applications, applicant support, string confusion, and closed generics. The third key point is the Asian, Australasian, and Pacific Islands Regional At-Large Organization, or AP-RALO, General Assembly. Approximately 45 AP-RALO
Heidi, can you hear us? I think we lost Heidi, so until she comes back, let's continue with our next presenter, Mr. Rob Hogarth.
Thanks very much, Ozan. Showing how technology challenges make this a very flexible and open house session. Thanks very much. Good day, everyone. I'm Rob Hogarth, and I recently took on responsibilities for supporting the GAC and its work. And I'll give you a brief overview of the plans for the Governmental Advisory Committee at ICANN 60. It's once again a full agenda for the GAC in Abu Dhabi. They've got 35 sessions planned over 6 days. And the work essentially falls into four main areas or themes. There's work on bilateral meetings that the GAC will conduct with the board, the CCNSO, GNSO, ALAC, and with some chairs of various cross-community working groups. There's also going to be a discussion of a variety of substantive policy topics, and I outlined some of those in the slide that you had before you. There's also going to be a focus on a number of operational matters, which range from how the GAC intends to continue to operate within the new empowered community to discussions of potentially re-examining the GAC operating principles to preparations as early as now for the high-level governmental meeting that's anticipated for ICANN 63. So a number of operational matters as well as a number of the GAC working groups holding their meetings in the broader GAC plenary sessions so that all GAC members can participate and provide input. There's also a special half-day capacity building workshop that's scheduled for the morning of Saturday, the 28th of October, for Middle East community members. And of course, anyone on this call and others can have the opportunity to sit in on that in person or listen via remote participation to familiarize themselves with the GAC, what it does, and how it fits into the overall ICANN community. Of course, one of the major productions that the GAC engages in at an ICANN public meeting is the development of the GAC communique. And the GAC has almost 7 hours of session time devoted to conversations and deliberations about developing that document, which is essentially the vehicle for the GAC to communicate its advice with the ICANN Board of Directors. I'd like to remind all of you that all the GAC sessions are open to the public for observations either in person or via remote participation capabilities. And so I hope that you'll all take advantage of that at least for one or two of the sessions during the week that are of interest to you topic-wise. Finally, I think there's just a general theme I'd like to share and convey to you all. You may have seen a number of reports in various publications about the DNS recently about changes of leadership in other supporting organizations or advisory committees. The GAC is going through its own transition right now, in that the current chair, Thomas Schneider, is stepping down halfway through his term. And so the GAC is currently conducting an election to choose who will fulfill the remainder of Thomas's term. And on Tuesday morning in Abu Dhabi, we'll be announcing the results of that election, as well as the appointment of a number of new vice chairs. So essentially, we're having almost a 50% turnover in the GAC leadership,
which will present some interesting challenges going forward. We have some kind of business. And then finally,
Rob, can you hear us?
Yes, Ozan. Did you lose me too?
You start to break up, but I think it went back to normal now, so please continue.
Thanks. Yeah, the final point, just noting that since the Johannesburg meeting, we've had 50 new participants join the GAC. We're not talking about new GAC members, you know, not new countries, territories, or observers, but transitions for people who are representing various GAC members. And so it'll be an opportunity as well for existing GAC members, existing participants to welcome some of these new folks. And it will be an opportunity, I hope, for many of you in the community to welcome some new members to the ICANN community as well. So I'm happy to provide more details for you about any of the aspects of the GAC sessions or its agenda in Abu Dhabi when we go later to the open mic portion of this open house. I'll be happy to clarify, answer any questions, and hope to see or hear many of you participating in various GAC sessions over the course of the Abu Dhabi meeting, either in person or via remote participation. Thank you all very much, and I guess, Ozan, we'll try to circle back to Heidi to complete the report on the at-large community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob, and I hope you can hear me. Very sorry I had some technical issues. This is Heidi. So coming back to the third key point is the AP RALO General Assembly, and again, 45 AP RALO at-large structures, or ALSs, will be participating. They will be holding a series of capacity development sessions Saturday through Tuesday. On Wednesday, they will be holding their General Assembly plenary, which will be focusing on policy priorities, regional programs, and enhancing ALS and individual member engagements. And they'll also be celebrating on Wednesday their showcase, celebrating 10 years of diversity within AP RALO, and everyone is welcome for that to join that session. Moving on to the next session, next slide. I'd like to go over some of the key at-large sessions during ICANN 60, going over a few of the various activities. The first are policy discussions. And they will be, again, as I mentioned previously, discussing new GTLDs. They'll also be discussing Workstream 2 issues, approach to public comments, and the review of at-large working groups. For project activities, they'll be holding an initial discussion on their at-large Atlas, at-large summit, the third Atlas, planning that is going to be taking place at ICANN 64. So, again, initial discussions there. They'll also be holding a number of outreach and engagement activities, one with the NCUC on Saturday afternoon, and also a full day of activities with students, local students, on Monday. There's also going to be the first Global Indigenous Ambassadors Program pilot. There will be several ambassadors and a mentor from Indigenous communities around the world during ICANN 60. On review updates, as I mentioned earlier, there is going to be discussion on the at-large review that is currently ongoing, but also the CCTRT and the SSRT. In terms of bilateral meetings, they are going to be meeting with several groups, including the board and the CCNSO, the GAC, and the ESSAC. Moving on to RALO activities. Again, all of the RALOs will be active there. These are the regional at-large organizations. AFRALO will be holding their traditional AFRALO ICANN theme session with the theme of the GDPR. As mentioned earlier, AP RALO will be holding a series of activities for their General Assembly. URALO will be signing an MOU with RIPE, NCC, and LACRALO and NURALO will be holding informal meetings. They'll also, all of the five regional at-large organizations will be holding a leadership meeting as well as a development session looking into policies that affect the various RALOs. And then finally, on the working groups, several at-large working groups will be holding sessions and that includes the Accessibility Cross-Community Committee, also the Capacity Building Working Group, the Public Interest Working Group, the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement, and the Technology Task Force. And that concludes the at-large review, and I believe I'm handing over to Steve for the RSAC update. Steve?
Thank you, Heidi. My name is Steve Shane. With my colleagues, I support the Root Server System Advisory Committee and the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. For the RSAC, 3 points. Since the last ICANN meeting, the RSAC published a technical analysis of the naming scheme used for individual root servers. This document is important because the DNS system is supported by root servers that serve the root zone. Since 1990, I think over 1995, individual root servers were named under the root-servers.net. So you have A through M dot root-servers.net. And this naming scheme has worked well for root servers and the internet community at large for over 2 decades. However, given today's environment in this advisory, the RSAC studied the naming schemes used for the servers and considered the consequences of making changes. So the RSAC will present this document at ICANN 60. Second, for several years, the RSAC has been working on the evolution of the DNS root servers. They did this through a series of workshops, and they have completed their last workshop 5 just last week at the University of Maryland. At ICANN 60, the RSAC will share the results of the workshop and its latest thinking on this matter. Finally, the current RSAC work parties include best practices for the distribution of Anycast instances of root servers, harmonization of anonymization procedures for data provided by root servers, and also various packet size issues for root servers. So the RSAC, at ICANN 60, the RSAC will have 7 open sessions, 2 tutorials on how the root server system works, and some other working sessions to advance the work of the RSAC. So with that, thank you. I will hand over to my colleague, Julie, to talk about the SAC.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome, everyone. This is Julie Hedlund, and I'm going to speak to you briefly about the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, the SAC, and their activities at ICANN 60. They're going to have their usual sessions at ICANN 60. They start off with DNSSEC for Everybody, a beginner's guide. That will be on Sunday at 3:15 to 4:45. And that will be a fun session where you can find out about DNSSEC through a skit with members of the community playing as actors in their roles to demonstrate how DNSSEC works. This is part of the newcomer session, and it's always enjoyable and fun and also educational. And then the DNSSEC workshop on the Wednesday from 9 to 3, and that's the 1st of November, will provide a more in-depth opportunity to hear presentations and demonstrations relating to DNSSEC activities in the region. And for this meeting in particular, there will be a focus on the Root KSK rollover and the current status and next steps. So you may have heard Root KSK rollover has been delayed, and this will be an opportunity to find out more information about the status of the rollover. And then there is the SAC public meeting, and that will be an opportunity to hear about the SAC's current activities, including some of the key topics that they discussed at their recent annual workshop in Los Angeles. So at this point, I would like to go ahead and turn things over to my colleague, Bart Boswinkel. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie, and good day, everybody. I will provide you a brief overview of the sessions and topics of the CCNSO at ICANN 60, which may be of relevance to the broader community. First of all, the CCTLD will be presented, community will be presented progress on its on the third CCNSO PDP to date on the retirement of CCTLDs, and the PDP working group will meet. Since ICANN 59, the working group has developed a working method and discussed in depth the relevancy of the change of status of entries into the ISO 3166 list of country and territories, and based on these changes has started to build scenarios. Talking about ISO 3166, as a spin-off of ICANN 59, the presentation on the workings of ISO 3166 will now be given to the full community, and this to provide a better understanding and context of country and territory names in the used through ISO 3166. And this will not only be of help to the CCTLD community with respect to the retirement of CCTLDs, but is also probably a good segue and a good introduction into the discussions on and ongoing discussions on country and territory names. As you know, in the past, we briefed you on the progress of the country or the cross-community working groups on country and territory names, but this working group has now been closed by both chartering organizations, the CCNSO and GNSO, and the CCNSO is now willing to participate in the geographic names effort under the subsequent procedures, work track 5, as it is called. However, some in the CCNSO community have some issues with respect to participation, in the sense of they see some risks, and these issues are effectively at two levels. One is around the decision making, and the second one is on the potential overlap of policies, in particular in the area of IDN CCTLDs and new GTLDs, especially if country and territory names are used. So this will be broadly, or the CCNSO will discuss it internally, of course, but it's also on the agenda with the other communities with whom the CCNSO Council and broader community will meet in ICANN, in ICANN 60. Thirdly, I want to raise two more topics very briefly. The CCNSO has started its internal review of the meetings, its meeting strategy. CORE is the policy for, and it's around how they've structured the their meetings at ICANN. The way they look at it is that the basic format is effectively the policy forum, and there is a need to review this again, given the changing circumstances after 2 years into the new ICANN meeting strategy. And finally, I want to point out to a specific meeting of the TLD Ops, and that is the TLD Operational Working Group. In the past, I briefed you about Tech Day, and again, at ICANN 60, there will be Tech Day. But now, in addition to Tech Day, there will be a second technical operational meeting, and this one is particularly focused on security. Although this group is, although this, the workshop is closed, it is good to realize that the CCNSO and the CCTLD community at large are really taking the security issue seriously, and hence this meeting. The workshop will focus on developing a framework to deal with global DDoS attacks. That was my brief update on the CCNSO meetings in Abu Dhabi. Back to you, David or Ozan.
Thank you, Bart. Hello, everyone. This is Ozan Şahin speaking. I'm working out of ICANN Istanbul office as Community Services Senior Coordinator within the Policy Development Support Team. We will now continue with questions and answer session. As you might have noted on the screen, Adobe Connect room microphones have now been enabled. To activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. During the registration period for this open house, we have received some questions through the registration form. As you think about questions to ask a policy development support team and activate your microphones, I would like to go through some of the questions we have received so far. In the meantime, please feel free to either raise your hand or type your question or comment in the chat box. So seeing no hands, and I see a question in the chat box. Aside from supporting the RDS PDP working group and the session Abu Dhabi, to what extent is the policy team involved in the ICANN efforts led by Theresa and Akram on GDRP? Are you participating in the meetings being held with DPAs, involved in conversations with Hamilton? Thanks. So, Marika, would you like to respond to that question?
Yes, thank you, Ozan. This is Marika. I can just answer from the perspective of one of the policy staff members that's supporting the RDS PDP working group, and I can just note that we're not actively involved in the conversations or the efforts that are led by Theresa and Akram, although we're, of course, closely following them, and as you can imagine, they're, of course, as well of interest to the PDP working group as a topic relates closely to what the working group is looking at. So we're very aware of those activities, and as said, some of the materials coming out of those efforts are helping to inform the policy discussions that are taking place. But from the policy team, we're not actively involved in any of the meetings that are being held or the conversations that are taking place with Hamilton.
Thank you, Marika. So hope that answers Jim's question. And I'd like to remind you that I will give priority to real-time questions in the chat box or if you raise your hands. But until that happens, we will continue with the questions received through our registration form. So the first question we received was how to protect the geographic names in the new GTLDs process with regard to the protection of our regional, national, cultural, geographic, and religious significance. Steve, would you like to respond to that question?
Sure. Thanks, Ozan. My name is Steve Chan. I'm a policy director in support of the GNSO. So for the 2012 round of the new GTLD program, there are geographic name protections implemented in the applicant guidebook, which happens to be section 2.2.14, and that provides the rule set for country and territory names, which is inclusive of 2 and 3 character alpha codes on the ISO 3166-1 list, as well as capital city names, sub-national names, et cetera. So looking forward at how these rules might be adjusted, the topic of geographic names is part of the GNSO's new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP working group's charter, with the work of the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, as well as the DAC working group on geographic names identified as key inputs to the PDP. And so for those that respond to the quiz question earlier in this webinar noted that they're unaware of what WorkTrack 5 is, hopefully you'll find the information provided here helpful. The new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group is just setting up a subteam called Work Track 5, which will be dedicated to the topic of geographic names at the top level. Given the community-wide interest in the subject, and as you may have noticed, Work Track 5 was mentioned by some of my colleagues supporting other SOs and ACs, the PDP working group co-chairs are seeking to enhance inclusiveness within existing mechanisms under the ICANN bylaws and GNSO operating procedures. And as such, Work Track 5 will have a co-lead from each of the ALAC, CCNSO, GAC, and GNSO. And I would note that a couple of the co-leads are actually on this call last I checked. And so their role as co-leads will be to help steward the process and make it as inclusive as possible. As a first order of business for the co-leads, the Work Track 5 co-leads are working on a mutually agreed upon terms of reference, which will spell out the specific Work Track 5 operations, scope of work, and anticipated deliverables. This terms of reference remains in progress and is likely to be a subject of discussion at ICANN 60. So the overall goal of Work Track 5 will be on developing a consensus outcome on the various aspects of geographic names, which could include new policy recommendations or perhaps even a validation of existing implementation in the 2012 applicant guidebook. And so finally, if you're interested in participating in Work Track 5 in the future, you'll expect to see, or you can expect to see a call for volunteers coming out shortly, and almost most certainly before ICANN 60. And then speaking of ICANN 60, there will actually be a session there on Wednesday, the 1st of November from 8:30 to 12, which will be devoted entirely to the topic of Work Track 5. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. I'm still seeing no hands raised or no other questions in the chat box, so moving on to the second question. Status of SSR2 review, GDPR, and implications, if any, of who is going dark for the security, technical, and law enforcement community. Steve, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, Ozan, and thank you for this question. The Security Stability and Resiliency Review is a specific review amended by the ICANN bylaws. We've done that SSR1 in the past, and the SSR2 started in February this year and is advancing its work. After 7 months, recently there are some concerns expressed by the board and also most recently by the SSAC. That the review team seems to have sufficient external instruction about what to study, and not able to formulate a clear direction itself. So while the SSAC is supportive of the review because it's important, it advises the board and the community to produce a detailed plan. For the review before, you know, doing further work in this area. So this will be obviously a topic of discussion at ICANN 60 between the SSAC, SSR2, and the community. The second question really is on the GDPR, the kind of the general data protection regulation in the European Union. And that recently some registrars have openly expressed that to comply with GDPR, they will need to turn off their registration data directory service. Obviously, I think complying, you know, with GDPR is important, and this is, you know, as the question we have earlier, this is an important question. There will be lots of venues for discussion at ICANN 60. And in this regard, I think, you know, ICANN is a good place where a good venue for this discussion to surface. On this particular matter, I know that, for example, the European CCTLDs, you know, who historically have a stronger privacy regulation framework has been offering WHOIT service. So, for example, the Sweden and the Belgium, they have some innovative ways for offering the service while also complying with these European regulations. So those will be a good use case to study as well on this subject. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm now moving on to the third question we have received. When is the next decision about the .Amazon delegation to be expected? David, would you like to answer this question?
Thank you very much, Ozan. This question relates to the independent review process, and in particular, Amazon, the company, challenging the new top-level domain program committee's decision to accept the government advisory committee's consensus advice that the three Amazon applications at the time should not proceed because of the their objections to that. The independent review panel did go through this with three independent judges, and they came up with a decision, and the board at its meeting on the 23rd of September issued a explanation and a resolution about how they're going to be dealing with next steps. The resolution, by and large, dealt with some procedural matters linked to this review panel process and also talked about the further consideration is needed with the panel's non-binding recommendation that the board promptly reevaluate Amazon's application. The board, of course, in trying to study this further carefully and closely, asked its Board Accountability Mechanism Committee to take a look at this rather closely and come up with options for the board to consider in addressing the panel's recommendations. And so that is the status and the next steps that are presented by the board. There'll probably be more discussions, obviously, at ICANN 60. And for all the details, including the background information, it is found here at this reference on the board resolution of the 23rd of September at that link, and those are the next steps planned. Thank you, Ozan.
Thank you, David. I'm quickly checking the chat box and seeing no new questions. So moving on to the fourth question we have received. What is the place and role of MPAC in ICANN policy development process? Marika, would you like to take that question?
Thanks, Ozan. Yes, I'm happy to take that question. This is Marika, and I'm assuming that MPAC, for those of you that may not know, which stands for the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns Constituencies, which is a constituency within the GNSO, is referring here to the GNSO policy development process. In that regard, it may be worth emphasizing and reminding everyone that all policy development process working groups at the GNSO are open to anyone interested to participate in. But having said that, there is a specific role set aside for GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. A policy development working group is required to reach out to these different groups at various stages of the process to request their input and feedback on the charter questions that the specific PDP is dealing with. At the same time, the working group then has the obligation to review the input that has been provided and analyze if and how that input has been addressed as part of its deliberations and reflected in the eventual recommendations. So in addition to participating as individuals, as a constituency, the MPAC also has a role to play by providing input to the working group as part of its deliberations. In addition to that, once a working group has completed its work and has delivered its final report to the GNSO Council, there's also a responsibility of the Council, which has representatives, elected representatives from the different stakeholder groups and constituencies, to assess you know, whether the process was followed as outlined in the ICANN bylaws. So again, it's an additional role that stakeholder groups and constituencies serve to make sure that due process was done and the relevant steps and procedures followed to get to the final report and recommendations that the GNSO Council then considers and forwards to the ICANN board for its consideration if and when approved. I hope that answers this specific question.
Thank you, Marika. And I'm now moving on to the final question we have received, which is, what is the policy to promote the use of IDNs, internationalized domain names? Steve, would you like to take that question?
Thank you, Ozan, and thank you for this question. The IDNs enable people around the world to use domain names in local language and scripts, you know, such as Arabic, Chinese, Cyrillic, or, you know, Devanagari. These are encoded by the Unicode standard and used as allowed by the relevant IDN protocols. So from a policy perspective, the policy, you know, at ICANN, its role is really to enable the introduction of IDNs at top levels. We have seen that for the 2012 round of TLDs. We have the CCTLD fast track, you know, for IDNs and, you know, subsequent CCTLD policies. Besides enabling the inclusion of IDNs at the top level, and then, you know, the ICANN, the other aspect that ICANN does is to provide a set of guidelines on how IDNs are implemented at second levels. This is, you know, our mandate to promote consistency and stability while allowing the innovation of IDNs for their use in different markets. There are two additional topics, initiatives that are not policy related, but it's very important. The first one is what we call label generation rules for the RUZO. This is work done by language, technical, and registry expert to determine a set of allowable code points to be used in the RUZO. As you understand, the RUZO is a special zone. There's only one route for the internet, and there, the work needs to be done very carefully there. The conclusion of that work, the label generation, will also enable a class of IDNs, what we call it, IDN variants, that are important to several linguistic and script communities. So that's one area. The second part is what we call a universal acceptance initiative. The use of IDNs have a supply and demand, and for the demand side, we need users using it. But there's a limiting factor: is a lot of the current libraries used by applications does not yet support IDNs, and ICANN is sponsoring a initiative to provide guidance, provide information to these application providers on how to enable IDNs. So those are the various pieces, and the ICANN's program run in the GDD has been working very hard to promote the use of IDNs. So with that, I turn it over back to you, Ozan.
Thank you very much, Steve. We actually have one more quiz. You are still thinking about the questions you might have. Let me pull that quiz up. So do you know who the candidates are for the upcoming GNSO chair elections? I'm pausing here for 10, 15 seconds for you to respond. So it seems we have 10 respondents who said no. Marika, would you like to give some information about that question?
Yes, thank you, Ozan. This is Marika again. As several colleagues have noted as well, that the AGM is typically the meeting as well that leadership changes take place, and same applies for the GNSO. The current chair, James Bidell, who I believe is on the chair, ends his term at ICANN 60, which means that we're having a chair. And currently one candidate has been put forward, and that is Heather Forrest, who is the current vice chair of the GNSO and a council member for the intellectual property constituency. I do know that I did put candidates in there, as many of you may not know that even though one candidate has been put forward, the GNSO operating procedures actually require that any candidates also run against the infamous none of the above candidate. So as part of the election, that will be on the ballot when a vote takes place. So if you're interested to hear about the outcome of the election, I would like to encourage you to join us for the GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday at ICANN 60.
Thank you, Marika. If we are still waiting for further questions or comments, I'd like to turn it over to now Rob. Rob, you mentioned that lowering barriers to participation is an important topic for the GAC community in Abu Dhabi. Could you please explain more what is meant by lowering barriers to participation?
Certainly. Thank you, Ozan, for reading my slide and picking up the last bullet point there. The concept of lowering barriers to participation, I think, is called many things by many different parts of the community, and whether that's the need for prioritization, the need for better onboarding, the reflection that our present core of volunteers find themselves tremendously overworked or burdened in terms of the amount of work. It's basically a recognition that there are a number of ways, both theoretical as well as practical, that the various ICANN communities can improve communications about what's happening in their various communities, not just process, but in terms of substantive conversations and topics. It refers to improved information flow in terms of what's the status of things, what are going on, how do people get access to information more readily. It involves the concept of improving knowledge and learning as well. How do we onboard newcomers to the community? How do we essentially maximize the brain power of the ICANN community so that all of you who are participating in this call really have an opportunity to leverage your brain power, your experience, your passion for some of these issues in productive ways that result in active participation and well-informed policy development and policy advice efforts. It's a big deal from a GAC perspective in some ways, because it was back in ICANN 56, Helsinki, I think it was, where Thomas Schneider first, brought this to the community in the form of a cross-community session and made this an important talking point within the GAC and with other community groups. And in Abu Dhabi, this topic is going to be on all the bilateral meeting agendas that the GAC is having with the various community groups, essentially to find ways to explore how those groups working with the GAC and working with each other can improve. What's the information that we're sharing? How can people be better informed? So thanks for the opportunity to mention that. From my past position, I can share that there are a number of pilot efforts that are being worked on in this fiscal year at ICANN that explore some of those opportunities, and whether that's training people to be better chairs, helping people to become more familiar with how they can contribute in writing or be better advocates or otherwise participating in policy development, that I think some of you have already heard about, and I hope that many more of you will hear about, so that you can participate or give some feedback so that we can improve, not just as a staff, but generally as community members and community groups, to facilitate and lower a lot of the barriers that still exist in our various community silos. And actually, Heidi, I don't know if you still have a mic available to you, but we had talked some time ago about some efforts that are going on at the annual general meeting in terms of training or giving people the opportunity to build skill sets that you might want to touch on as well. And I'll stop there, Ozan. Thank you. And
Rob,
see if Heidi
Rob can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Thank you. And actually, I was just writing about the ICANN Academy. This is a working group that includes members from across the community, and they have several courses. What is happening at Abu Dhabi is a new pilot on intercultural awareness, and they will also be launching their second year of a chairing skills program that will officially start at ICANN 61 and run until ICANN 62. They also have the leadership program for current and incoming leaders that will be taking place, again, a few days prior to the start of ICANN 61. And I'll go ahead and put the entire workspace so you can see the courses in the chat in just a moment.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Heidi. As we are coming to the end of questions and answer session, I'm checking if there are any hands raised or questions in the chat box. So this is actually the last call, going once, going twice.
Ozan, this is Rob. Just to note that there is a question in the chat of ICANN Academy versus ICANN Learn. I can't answer that question, but maybe Heidi, you want to take that or somebody else on the team?
Yeah, I'll, this is Heidi again. So ICANN Academy is a community-run program, and again, they do face-to-face courses with some teleconferences. The ICANN Learn is a program that is the platform is run by ICANN, but it, again, it allows for courses, webinars, et cetera, on courses that, again, the community can contribute to. But again, I'm not leading that, so Betsy Johnson is the person to contact for that. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Heidi. So if there are no further comments or questions, thank you for joining us today. Recordings and slides from this open house will be posted on the policy presentation space on the ICANN website. So I'm pasting the link in the chat box for the presentations and the recordings. And I will now turn it over back to David for his final remarks.
Thank you, Ozan. I'd like to thank all of you on the call today for joining my policy colleagues in this discussion of the highlights and priorities of advice and development policy and advice development work at ICANN 60 as we begin our final preparations for either our travel there or our preparations to participate remotely, as that is a possibility. As I mentioned at the beginning of this open house webinar, a question about the number of policy and advice development sessions or activities planned in Abu Dhabi, and we'll now reveal the answers to that of the 354 sessions, the answer would be over 150 will be devoted to the policy and advice development work. And this is a good reason and why I'd like to emphasize this number is it shows the activity and intensity of your work in the various supporting organizations and advisory committees to move toward the consensus policy or good advice for the ICANN community. And it shows the intensity in between ICANN meetings where most of the work, as I mentioned, is conducted online to bring it forward in a face-to-face way to sort out issues and move it forward to a consensus and a recommendation to the board. Another indication I'd like to bring to my colleagues' attentions and is the an activity level that we track of the first quarter of fiscal 18. That's basically July, August, and September 2017. The community has had a over 700 calls, working groups or council calls or similar interactions, totaling over 800 call hours. And throughout that particular quarter, nearly 15,000 email exchanges, organizing the meetings, exchanging views, getting ideas across, reaching agreements or disagreeing, but moving things forward, were recorded during that period. Again, a tremendous testament to your activity and your work, of which we facilitate and help help you do the work of ICANN in the policy and advice area. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention. Thank you for your engagement and participation, and look forward to seeing you either in person or online remotely at ICANN 60. With that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Safe travels if you're going to Abu Dhabi, and we hope to hear from you online. Thank you so much.